I'd like to share a thought for the Yom Tov Sukkos. We ask ourselves, what is the first time that Sukkos appears? So we assume we would say in the Midbar, the Nani HaKavod, Klai Yisrael comes out of Mitzrayim. But in truth, there's a remez earlier in Parshas Vayishlach, after Yaakov and Esav meet up, after Yaakov was in the house of Lavan, and he gives a gift to Esav, and Esav wants to stay with him, and finally Yaakov convinces him to leave. And then it says, "V'Yaakov nosa sukosa." Yaakov traveled to Sukkos, but even Lobayasulu Miknehu also Sukkos. For his cattle, he made Sukkos. Alkein Karishim Amokum Sukkos. That's why it's called Sukkos. So this is a hint, obviously, a pretty clear remez that this name has something to do with it. Obviously, it does just mean booths, but it means the actual word of what we call a Sukkah. And to get a little, maybe it'll give us a little bit of understanding as to the Yantav of Sukkos and some of the things that are going on. The Shem Yishmuel asks a question on this. He says it's a little peculiar to call the place Sukkos. After all, it sounds like he made for the people a house. Targum Yonos Menuzil says a base medrash, but some sort of something for the people and something for the animals. And then for some reason he called it Sukkos. Why did he call it Bayis? This is a question that the Shem Yishmuel has I think we're going to explain mostly what he gives as an answer. Yeah, we will. But to get there, I think there are a lot of steps in the middle. So there's an idea that's been popping up for me in a few different places as I was learning over the Yom HaNoraim and looking at different things. And it kind of changes perspective. It's a little bit more about what's going on and the din. And of course, Sukkos, as we all know, we say Hoshana Rabbah is the Piska Tova. You wish people Piska Tova. We still have these aspects of Din. And what is the connection? What is going on here between, obviously, Yom Kippur and Sukkos are connected. What is the connection between these days and how are they connected? What is it that Sukkos has? Didn't we just finish a Gemar Chasima Teva? We just had a Gemar Chasima Teva. So, okay. So we had a finishing. So now, okay. So we get it. Yeah, to get it in the mail. What's exactly going on? And what are we doing about it? I think is perhaps a more pertinent question. So the background for this is really quite interesting. I found this in the Machzor that I have, recently put out by Rav Aaron Lapiansky. So in the back, in the back of the Rosh Hashanah Machzor, I don't typically do this, but in the back of this Machzor, he says that he puts the some of the Zohars on Tekiah Shofar. Tekiah Shofar has great Kavanas, and so, okay. So I was, browsing a little bit, trying my best. I don't typically have a Zohar Seder, but this was really interesting. And as it's expounded by, a Rebbe, in the Sefer Shuvi Venechsa, which is really the thoughts of Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and he explains what's going on here with a lot of background that maybe changes our perspective, A, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos, and also on some of the parashas in the Torah that we might be familiar with. And I will try my best to explain what's going on over here. And they say like this, this is a combination of the Zohar with some explanation from Rav Moshe. They say, actually, Rosh Hashanah is symbolized by Yitzchak giving the brachos to Yaakov and Esav. That in fact, this was how, when Yitzchak wanted to give the brachos to Esav, it was because he was in a status of Midas Adin, and he was going to give the brachos to Esav. And Yaakov Avinu, through utilizing the shofar and other forms of tefillah, Rosh Hashanah manages to get the brachos. That's step one. Rav Moshe explains this by saying that really on Rosh Hashanah, it's a very interesting perspective. What's really going on in the world is a question of what is the Tzuras HaAdam? What is the world holding by? Are we holding by Yaakov? Or are we holding by Esav? And that's what happened on Rosh Hashanah. And of course, Yaakov was successful. Yaakov was successful and he got the brachos. And it was great. The only problem was that, of course, after that, Esav was very, very upset. And so Yaakov Avinu went and he headed off after Rosh Hashanah. This is, I actually saw brought down in the Rav Chaim Kanievsky Sefer Time at the Crow, where he talks about when things happened. He does bring one pshat, I think based on the Zohar, that this actual event of Yitzhak was not on Pesach, as many other Mefarshim say, or many other Midrashim, but this event of Yaakov getting the brachas was actually on Rosh Hashanah. And Yaakov went, and he went, and he was running away from Esav. And in fact, there was another meeting, and that meeting is symbolized by Yom Kippur. I don't think it actually happened on Yom Kippur, but it's symbolized by Yom Kippur. Where did that happen? That actually happened at the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach. That when Esav came with 400 men, so what are they were coming? They were coming to attack. They were coming to be mekatrig on Yaakov Avinu, on Klal Yisrael. They're coming to mekatrig and say, like, he's not deserving. And that was Yom Kippur. They bring a remez, brings a remez over here that's the pasuk in the beginning of Vayishlach says, Achapra panav, Yaakov Avinu, when he's going to greet Esav with these gifts, he's coming to be mechaper. Achapra panav is a very unusual word to say to be to appease him, but that's what it says, obviously a remez to this kapara, that's what Yom Kippur was. And on Yom Kippur, Yaakov Avinu was successful, symbolized really just the furthering of what happened in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, Yaakov separated himself a little bit from Esav. Yaakov, so to say, was victorious over Esav. And now, but Esav didn't give up so fast. He came back for more, and Yaakov managed to separate himself more. He managed to separate himself more. The famous idea of Soyer La'Azazel, the Soyer representative of the Soyer, Ish Soyer, Esav is the Ish Soyer, that he... On Yom Kippur, we take this confusion even further, and we separate, we make it clearer, and we send Esav off, ideally off a cliff, and we send him off, and Yaakov is left alone. Great. So that's a reference to that, this ongoing battle between Yaakov and Esav. But then he wasn't done. What happens then? Then there's still more, and he says, "V'Yaakov nasa sukosa." What was needed in Sukkos? He says that even still, there was still a kitrug, there was still a kitrug going on. Esav somehow was still fighting, and he is still fighting now. And we needed to go to where? To Sukkos. And the Mefarshim explain over here that it means we go to Sukkos. What does a sukkah provide? A sukkah provides protection. We go there for protection. And once we have that protection, so then, Zohar, the words of the Zohar, Kivan de Yasve Besukos ha ish tezevu min mekatrigo. Now he's done. Once we sat in Sukkos, then we were protected. And that was the timeline. A very interesting timeline over here. And what's going on in the din? It's the din between Yaakov and Esav. And Yaakov is victorious, and then does tshuva and manages to fend off Esav even further by Yom Kippur, and gets rid of the kitrug. But there's still leftovers, remnants, and those remnants are still viable for us, and we need to protect ourselves from those. So that's a timeline, which again I know was to me a little bit of a chiddush in the timeline of what's going on in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and in these parshiyos and this whole story with Yaakov and Esav. It has a lot, I think, for Rosh Hashanah. Imagine a person thinks to himself, you know, is it my Yaakov or is it my Esav? There's a lot to think about, but we're not talking about Rosh Hashanah now. We're talking about Sukkos. And on Sukkos, it says we're going for that protection. That's what the protection provides. And with that, I think we can go back to what the Shem Yishmuel says. Now, I think I understand the Shem Yishmuel. Shem Yishmuel says, if you want to protect something, he references this idea that Sukkos is for protection. He says, if you want to protect something, you have to protect the most vulnerable. The most vulnerable thing. And what we're saying over here is that's why he gave it to the behemoth. The behemoth needed to be protected. The behemoth, I assume it means, the Derech Remez, were the physical parts of us that were more viable to fall back under the auspices of Esav, to be caught, so to say, by the kitrug of Esav. And so that's why the sukkos were built specifically for behemoth, and even the place was named because it was the place that ultimately provided this protection. It was a great level of completion of protection from Esav. I think there's a little bit of a Musar Haskel for us as to what we're doing now as Yom Kippur ends and we head into Sukkos. We're focused on our mitzvahs, but we also have to be strong. We have to be clear that we make for ourselves the proper boundaries, the proper boundaries and the proper protections for things that we need to protect. We need to protect our Yom Kippur. We can't just say, I finished Yom Kippur. We have to protect it. We have to remember what we spoke about with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to remember that we're going to do that, and we have to make whatever safeguards are necessary to be able to really fortify that. I think it's an important lesson in general. I think sometimes people tend to take on chumras or protections or things on things that they like, so to say, that they're good at. And I think that's a little bit of a mistake, because I think that it needs to be in the things that we're weaker at. That's what needs the protection. That's where we have to be a little bit more careful. And you know, so it's like, so the masmid is always like, oh, I this year I'm going to be extra, extra, extra. Okay, but you know, but did you think about Ibn Adam Lechavero, and the one who's very good about Shmira Seinayim or whatever, you know, and these kinds of things. He's even extra, extra careful. Why don't you try to make sure you get to more learning? Like, in other words, we have to make sure that we have a sukkah shalem, so to say, a complete sukkah, a protection, a protected situation, a place where we can grow. But we have this balance. We have the balance of things that we need to have. And that's a lesson that we learned along the way of this whole storyline, which, again, is very novel, at least to me, and perhaps to you. And the lesson of Sukkos is that it's a time to get even closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to protect and fortify that which we have managed to do over the Yom Noraim. And we should all be zochah to a beautiful Yantif, and a Yantif that's very successful in this regard.